Hello and welcome back to the Classics Podcast, and to this episode of Revision. In this mini bite-sized episode, you'll hear our host James Renshaw talking to two academics, Professor Lynette Mitchell of Exeter University and Dr. Roel Conandike of the University of Oxford. They'll be discussing interpretation question one, why did the Greeks win the Persian Wars? Here, Roel delves into the reality behind the numbers, just how many people were involved in the Persian Wars, and how reliable are our sources?
I just want to delve into something which is very problematic, which is the numbers that Herodotus gives. And let's actually go on the Greek side, first of all, because I think we can trust him much more when he gives his Greek numbers. So perhaps the most famous set of numbers he gives us is he gives the list of Greeks who fought at Plataea. And I think it comes out at 38,700 hoplites fighting, and then I think the same number of light armed troops. So students, you can remember, if you can remember, just under 40,000 or around 40,000 hoplites. Are those sort of figures accurately? And then also the number of ships that he gives, which is usually between about 300 and 400 in the sea battles on the Greek side. So on the Greek side, do we think his numbers rule are pretty good?
Yeah, I think, I mean, at least in terms of the number of triremes and hoplites, those numbers are usually considered fairly reliable because they correspond with the numbers that we get in other campaigns. So we know that they are roughly correct for the numbers of troops that the cities that are supposed to have mustered them could have mustered. So there's good reason to believe that those numbers are reasonably accurate, and also that the alliance that was brought out to fight the Battle of Plataea could have mustered if they tried to, you know, turn out as they're supposed to have done with their full levy or something close to it, that they could well have mustered those numbers. And so, for instance, you know, Athens having 8,000 or, you know, all these other numbers are reasonably reliable, even if we had no reason to assume that they were based on some kind of documentation. And it is possible that they were, because there's, at least for the Athenians, recruitment of the hoplite levy goes by something called the list, which is essentially like a locally maintained register of citizens over 18 who can afford the armor that you need for this. So there is, and we don't know if this exists on paper, so to speak, but we know that there was some understanding of how many people there were in each deme, you know, in each administrative district who were liable for this kind of service. And if that's the case, then you can do your math and establish how many hoplites there would have been. So Herodotus would have been able to find this out either by sort of extrapolating from the numbers that he knew, or simply by asking, okay, well, what orders did you get? You know, how many people did you call up? Because that would have been a central decision and people would have had some kind of memory of them. And in terms of ships, it's a similar story. I mean, these numbers are all sort of ballpark, you know, they're orders of magnitude that are correct for the kinds of fleets that are later mustered by these states or other states in the same area. So those are fairly dependable numbers. The only question that we have with Herodotus' numbers for the Battle of Plataea is whether his light armed troops are accurate. And the problem is with those is that they often weren't counted. There's just a sense of like, if you can't afford to own hoplite equipment, if you don't have enough money essentially to buy yourself a shield and spear, then you're going to turn up for the army with whatever you can carry. And there's much less significance to your presence because these are poorly organized and relatively ineffective troops. And that means that very often they're just not counted. So there's just a huge number of these people around whose numbers are not of interest to people who are making these kinds of records. Herodotus does a very simple math sum where he just says, well, there's just one body servant essentially for every hoplite. There's one assistant there who cooks his food, and in the battle they will fight as light armed troops. And so that's my numbers. I'm just going to multiply by two and then I'm going to have the total, which is obviously very rough and ready. It may well be a ballpark figure, may well be correct, but that's just a sort of rough estimate. And then he adds that the Spartans each have 7 helots with them. And that's a number that, you know, arouses endless debate, because could there possibly be so many? Why did they bring them all? What is the use for them? What were they doing in the battle? We don't know. But there are supposed to be 35,000 helots at the Battle of Plataea. And that's the number that arouses the most suspicion of any of them, because it's just a big question of where they're coming from, why they're there, what they do. You know, we know very little about this.
Okay, thank you. And I think, is it worth saying that figure of about 40,000 hoplites, which we can think is fairly trustworthy. In terms of Greek history, that is a huge number of Greeks to be on the battlefield at the same time. It's possibly the largest ever gathering of Greeks in one place in known history. So, I mean, it is a very significant number, isn't it?
Yeah, so that number is enormous because Greek alliances, although the Greeks often went to war as a coalition, you know, several states working together, there are rarely any coalitions that are this big, for instance, including both Athens and Sparta. And Sparta at this point is still the largest state in terms of the number of hoplites, which later goes down very quickly. So this is a huge, huge number. And in terms of hoplites, this is the largest number that has ever gathered for a single battle. And this becomes, you know, as we'll see later on, but this becomes a huge factor in the Battle of Plataea because this army is vast and it's certainly the largest that any Greek has ever seen, let alone commanded, which causes its own problems, logistic and tactical. But it also means that in terms of confronting the Persian army that's invaded the Greek mainland, this is a serious tool. Like this will do it, you know? I mean, that's the big thing. If we are to believe these numbers, then this is an army that legitimately has potentially outnumbers the invaders because it is just that large.
Yeah, and therefore it's worth saying, we, on the one hand, we might say, well, it's only 31 states who come together, and this isn't all of Greece by any means. But on the other hand, they do raise this huge force, and they do deserve a lot of respect for that.
Well, so this is the great advantage that the Greek states have, right? So the way that they organize their armies is they just call up the whole population when there's an emergency. And that means usually that even though your army is going to be relatively poorly organized and ill-prepared, I mean, they receive no training, they receive no equipment from the state or anything. They're just guys who have their own equipment and come to battle with it. But you can get a lot of them. And that is very much what you see at Plataea, is that if you try and do that in earnest, you can get, you know, every single city turns out thousands of men. You add 31 cities together and suddenly you have a vast force of these hoplites plus, you know, supporting troops and everything else.
Okay, well, let's come across then to the Persian side. And this is where things go a little bit crazy. I think Herodotus says we have in the whole campaign march 5.2 million. Some early scholar worked out that if that was true and they were all marching crocodile style from Susa, then the first person arriving in Greece would be arriving in Greece when the last person was leaving Susa. So we can discount 5.2 million. And then on the ship side, we're told 1,207, which sounds eerily familiar to Homer's Iliad. So what do we do with these numbers? Do we just discount them? Is there any way of trying to make them work? And how do we work out the Persian numbers?
Yeah, so this is one of the big questions when it comes to reconstructing the Persian Wars, because, I mean, no one really believes those numbers in Herodotus. We know that they are practically impossible, not just for the amount of space they would take up, the amount of food they would eat. And Herodotus himself tells tall tales to justify this and saying they drank the rivers dry and all this. But he himself already says when he makes this calculation of the total that he says, I'm not really sure I can believe this, actually, because how could they feed them? Herodotus himself says that. So you have to start thinking like, wait a minute, if you don't trust these numbers, how are we ever to accept them? So no one really does that. The problem is, how do we get to something more real? And there are two things there. One is that when Herodotus tries to get to this number and tries to establish how big this Persian army is, he does so in what is perhaps one of his most scientific passages, if you will, in the entire work. He really goes through it very carefully, listing all the numbers, listing all the different arithmetic that he's using to try and get to the total, including things like, again, you know, getting to 2.6 million and then doubling it to include all the servants and camp followers. So you can see the kind of calculations that are going on. And so Herodotus is almost daring you to say like, okay, well, if you don't believe me, show me where the mistake is, right? Show me where I'm wrong. And it's very hard for us to do that because each individual number doesn't sound that strange. I mean, he's talking, for instance, saying, these are the number of ships. This is the number of men per ship. You multiply one by the other. There are 250,000 people in this fleet. And you're like, well, you're not making a mistake, but that number is far too high, right? What do we do with that? And so the difficulty has always been like, what do you actually use against this other than the logic that the sheer number cannot possibly have existed? So there are some ways you can do this. I mean, one is to measure, for instance, the size of the camp, which he reports at Plataea. If you multiply that and see how many people can you fit in there, you come to a much smaller number. other ways of doing this are just saying, like, what can you reasonably move across this terrain, where very quickly you run into the use of comparative evidence. So you look at other empires, for instance, the Seleucid Empire of a later period that covered more or less the same territorial extent. How many people could they raise in a full-sized army? Other campaigns or other armies that have marched through similar territory, how many people can you keep alive? Can you feed as you're marching them through this landscape? On the basis of those kinds of tentative, you know, comparative pieces of evidence, people have reached a Persian army number of somewhere between 80,000 to 160,000, maybe at the out on the outside. But that is very much speculation. We just don't have any numbers beyond the unbelievable ones that Herodotus provides.
And is it the same sort of thing in ships as well?
And yeah, for ships, I mean, the number that he gives of 1,207 is very suspect because it's a number that we also find in Aeschylus. But does he actually say 1,000 of which 207 are fast ships, or is it 1,000 plus a 207 fast ships or something like that? In any case, there's a lot of confusion there as well. And again, the crews, the amounts of food they would need, the impossibility of fitting them through the various straits and capes and things they have to move along. And then the losses supposedly suffered by storms, which are also, you know, very, very high. It becomes very difficult to ascertain the core of that. But it's quite possible that we're dealing with a fleet that's actually, I mean, still very large, but more comparable to the Greek one. So perhaps between 300 and 600 warships, plus innumerable, of course, supply ships and transports.
Make sure you follow the Classics podcast on Spotify so that you'll be the first to hear about each new episode. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and make sure you follow us on Instagram at The Classical Pod. For bonus materials, check out our website, classicalassociation.org/podcast.